Our reading is taken from the Epistle of James, chapter number 2, starting at verse number 14. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or a sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that?" Mm-hmm. So by faith itself, if it has no works, it's dead. But someone will say that you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you senseless person, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not our ancestor Abraham justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was brought to completion by the works. Thus, the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by the works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, look your neighbor square in the eye, but go on and point at yourself. You ain't got to touch them. Point at yourself, but look your neighbor square in the eye. Point at yourself. Look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm all in.
All in.
Neighbor,
neighbor,
I'm
all in."
All in. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, "I'm All In," which is also our theme for 2020. You see, 2020 means that we got 2020 vision, which means that through faith that you and I can see clearly now. You see, and as we look forward and as we go forward, the one thing that truly hits me as I look at this particular scripture, because this was an epistle that was written by James, the brother of Jesus, who meaning that they had the same mother, but they had different fathers. Somebody gonna get that? You see, Joseph was James' father, but Joseph was not the father of Jesus.
Amen.
He raised them. Amen. But this James is writing, and I need to bring this clear because you and I need to get this. He's writing to the Christian community. He is writing to those who have professed with their mouths and believed in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. He is writing to those who are Christians, those who identify themselves, Reverend Rhodes, as being Christ-like. He is writing to them because of the fact that something has occurred that has bothered him. There's something that has happened that really got under his skin. And what God had him do was write about it. And what we're seeing is that all that we get is truly a revelation from God. And what has happened here in this particular scripture, I can't tell you where it happened. I can't tell you when it happened. But something like this happened to cause James to write this.
All right.
And he made sure that this general epistle got around to all the churches. You see, let me help you understand something. God just doesn't want us to come here and shout and then leave here cussing folk out. God doesn't want you coming here saying that he is the head of your life. He is the head of your life. He is your all in all. I can't make it without him. But everything you do outside of being here is everything that, and there is no mention of God. Because when you go at home, you tell folks, look at what I got. When folks see you outside of here, you always talk about, look at how God has blessed me. Or rather saying, how God has blessed me. You see all the stuff I got? I worked hard for this. I did this for that, and so on and so forth. There is very little mention of God. But one of the things that we can't forget, God does not want lip service. You see, because if all we give God is lip service, then we can't help God out. God ain't looking for some folk who can shout good. He's looking for some folk who are going to live good. God is not interested in folk who are here to impress others. God is interested in folk who are here to press upon the love of God to the people of God. God wants you and I to understand it is not enough for us to just say that we love him. We got enough folk who are professing it, but how many folk are doing it? God needs more people who are involved in the ministry. God is looking for some more servants who are truly willing to put their hands to the plow and be about their Father's business. God is not looking for more folk who look good on the outside. God is not looking for how many folk come to your church who are suited down and who have on the best dress and the best shoes and the shiniest shoes, best hairdos. That's all stuff on the outside. God wants folk who he has blessed, and they know they are blessed from the inside. God is looking for people who truly are all in. God needs folk who are all in. There's no question that God is all in for us, because all we have to do is look at our big brother Jesus, and Jesus is the one who lets us know that he came because Jesus was what, y'all? All in. You see, because Jesus being all in, what he expects from us is to be all in doing the will of the Father, because the Son has showed us how we can be victorious. You see, my brothers and sisters, God ain't looking for some more folk just to fill the place up. God is looking for some folk who are coming here to be servants for him. People who are going to allow their lights to shine. People who are going to press upon the love of God on whomever they come across. But what we look at in these first few verses, in verses 14 through 17, we see something. What we see in these verses is something that God is challenging us with, and this is something that truly troubled James. Because he starts off the verse by saying, what good is it? Do y'all see those words? Because those words get repeated again and again. Because he says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say that you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? You see, what we have to realize is something. It's not just faith. Anybody can say they have faith. But where is the evidence of the works that is associated with your faith? God wants us to make sure that it's not about what we say. It's about more about what we do. Don't you know that your works speak volumes over your words? That's how come when some folk look at you and what you say, look at you like, I don't know, believe they said that. Because of what I've seen, I don't see nothing like what they said. And then there are other folk that when they say something, you know, you go ahead and nod your head, because you know what? The evidence has already been proven through their works. Their works have spoken such great volumes that whatever they say after that is just a reaffirmation of what they are doing. You see, and that's what Jesus was all about. He wasn't all about talking about it. Jesus was all about being about it. Jesus was all about doing it. And whenever he did it, then his disciples asked the questions, and then he spoke the words, and they knew that the words were there to substantiate what he was already doing, because his works was already speaking with such great volume that they had to hear the words, because they knew that they had to write it down, because somebody else needed to know what they knew so that we can learn from that. So what has occurred here is this. It's not about just having faith. It's about what you're doing with the faith that God has blessed us with. Because what we see here in verse number 15, he tells us something. If you see a brother or a sister is naked and lacks food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, What is the good of that? Y'all see that come back again? Do you realize James is talking about folks, Sister Davis, that come to us empty? And when they come to us empty, they should not leave the same way they came. Can we be real today? Don't you know when all of us came to Jesus, we all came. We came empty. Naked. And lacking. Daily food. Why? Because of the fact that the Lord knew we were all empty. That's why Jesus came and gave his all. So that we no longer had to remain somebody working with me. You see, because Jesus came, because the world had now become empty because of the sin that had dominated us. Sin is a drain that sucks from us and gives you back nothing. Sin takes everything and leaves you destitute. We know some folk who have been strung out on drugs. We know some folk who've been alcoholics. And if you look at them long enough, after some time passes, what do they have? Come on, be real with me. What do they have? Nothing. Everything is sucked out of them because sin leaves us empty. That's what sin does. And what bothers James with the actions of what he's talking about? Reverend Flippin, I truly believe he saw this happen right before his very eyes. Where he saw someone who was naked and hungry. They come to folk in church. They look at them and suck their teeth and say, I see your situation. I know you're empty, but that's all right. Go in peace and be full. Get out, because I ain't got nothing for you. So in all actuality, you came empty, you left empty. And then you wonder why your church is. Are you working with me now? We have to understand something. That God is the one that filled us. And he didn't fill us so that we can be full. And when folk come into our presence, they ought to come into our presence. They might come, but when they leave, they ought to leave. You see, so that's saying something. And what James is saying is that if you have faith in God, and you know what God has brought you through, when you know where God has brought you from, when you know when you came, you ain't have two nickels to rub together, you ain't have one good pair of shoes, and you had on pants that folk knew you were holy, not because of you being holy, but because your pants were. And now that you came to God empty, God would not let you stay empty, but he filled you. And now that you think you all got a bag of chips, two sodas, and a... When other folk come to you empty, you are not to allow them to leave the same way that they came. You see, when folk, don't you realize when folk come our way more times than not, no, not more times than not, God sends them to us. God sends them to us to see what we're going to do for them. And if we do nothing for them, God says, well, how can I trust you with anything else more than what you have? Because you ain't using what I blessed you with to help somebody else. So since you ain't going to use it to help anybody else, I can't move you forward. You got to stay right where you are till I'm able to truly see the evidence that your faith is such that you are applying your faith through your works, and through your works you are blessing other folk. And don't you be concerned, because when you came to me you were empty, but now that I filled you, no matter how much you you pour into others, you will never be empty. Because don't you know that the God that we serve is filled with living water? And don't you know that as long as we're out there pouring into the lives of others, the Lord is still pouring into our lives? So you don't ever have to worry about being empty again, because you're not going on your own resource. You're going on the source of the God whom we serve. And the God whom we serve will bless us to the point that we'll never be drinking out of our cup. We just keep sipping from our saucer. But I want you to understand, you'll never know it until you truly allow folk who come in your presence and fill them. Do you see it right here? His struggle is with those who aren't willing to share what God has filled them with somebody who is empty. James is saying, now how can you say you have faith, but you ain't utilizing it? There's no evidence that your faith is being utilized because of the fact that you're trying to hoard it to yourself. You're trying to keep it to yourself. And the more you try to keep to yourself, then you're wondering why what you have is starting to dry out. You're wondering why what you have is becoming less and less, because you ain't doing nothing with it. You see, my brothers and my sisters, you'll never know how far you can go. You'll never know how blessed you can be until you start using what God has already blessed you with. Do I got anybody in God's house who has taken what God has given them and been a blessing to somebody else? You might feel that you're going to lose out, but before you know it, you end up with more than what you started with. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who understand that God is the one who has filled me, and he keeps pouring into my life, and he keeps filling me up? Do I got anybody who understands that it's nobody but God who continues to fill our cups? And as he's filling us up, he doesn't want us to walk around full. He wants us to pour into the lives of others so that he can pour in more into us. And I want you to know that what God will end up doing is taking you from the size 10 cup and make you a half a gallon cup. Yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Now, we're not talking about the waistline. Are you working with me?
Yeah.
You see, God don't start us off with a big cup. Because if he starts us off with a big cup, Sister Fee, then we get a big head.
Yeah.
You see, God starts us off with a small cup. And when he fills up our small cup, he wants to know what you're going to do with that small cup. And if you take Sharonda that small cup and you continue to pour it into the lives of others, God says that your cup is no longer big enough. So God takes that little cup from you and he gives you a bigger cup, because he knows that he can trust you, because whatever he pours into you, you're going to pour into the lives of others. You see, my brothers and my sisters, that's what God wants to do with Broad Rock. He wants to pour more into Broad Rock. But the way he pours more into Broad Rock is when Broad Rock continues to pour more out to us. And the only way that's going to happen is we have to be all in. You see, so what we're seeing here, and I'm going to move on. What we're seeing here is that James has a problem with those folk who can talk it, but they are not walking it. God don't need more talkers. God needs more walkers. God needs more folk who are willing to fill up the cups of other folk they come in contact with. God don't need more folk who can shout loud. God don't need more folk who can do a good holy dance. God needs more folk who are willing to do his will. And if we're willing to do his will, all the other stuff's going to happen automatically. You see, but what God wants from us, he wants the best from us, because he gave the best to us. And since he gave the best to us, that means he's invested in us. And since he's invested in us, and I know I've been invested in, now I want you to know that I am now all in. So what is happening here is this. He is saying, you got to supply the bodily needs of those you come in contact with. They ain't going to hear the gospel while their stomach is grumbling. They ain't going to hear the gospel while they're sitting there shivering because they're cold. God says you got to deal with the bodily needs.
Yeah.
And once you deal with the bodily needs, they're going to be able to hear the spiritual needs. And just for you to tell them to go. Now, look at it, what he says. Go in peace. Keep warm and eat your full. I ain't got nothing to eat. I ain't got nothing to keep me warm. So how can I have peace? I'm walking around empty. I came empty, and now I'm leaving you empty. I recognize individually we might can't do it all, but collectively we can. That's why we have a food pantry. That's why we have the benevolence line. That's why we assist and have adopted Bouchard. That's why we do stuff with the Safe Harbor Ministry. That's why we do all the various things that we do, because we realize that we know that God has filled us. So since God has filled us, we have to pour into others. And as we pour into others, then God pours into us. That's why we got to get ready and prepared for the new building, because of the fact that God is telling us that this cup ain't going to be big enough.
Yes.
Are you hearing what I'm saying, y'all? But God is preparing us to let us know that he is going to do this. But in order for him to do this, all of us have to be. Now, here's the last piece. There's two little pieces. So faith by itself, if it has no works, what is it, y'all?
Faith.
We wonder why churches die. Because the church talks faith, but it don't live faith. Sister Dawes, what good is it for you to tell folk that you make the best North Carolina barbecue they could ever eat, but they never taste it? You can tell folk all day long, I make the best. But if you don't ever bring none to them, and all you ever do is talk about it, after a while, folk get tired of you, because there is no evidence, no work that it exists. Sister Dawes do make good barbecue, y'all. Y'all know that, right? Because many of y'all done tasted it. Many of y'all done hummed after you done ate it. But the whole idea that what I'm saying is that it's not enough just to profess something. If you profess it, there ought to be some works, some evidence that show that what I'm talking about is already in existence. I want you to know that what faith is having the ability to speak things into existence before you even see it. And guess what? I'm looking at that big cup right next door to us and how big it's going to be. And how God is going to pour into it, because we are all in. And we ain't going to just talk about it. We go what? Be about it. Okay, come on, let me take you forward. I got to give you this last piece and I'm going to shut it down. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get tight faced now. Look at verse number 18. We're almost done. But someone will say, I have faith. And others will say, I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I by my works will show you my faith. You believe that God is one? You do well. Check this. Even the demons believe and shudder. Let me help you understand. Being a Christian is not an either or. Either you have faith or you have works. That ain't how it works. Christianity is not an either or. It's called a both and.
Yeah.
Oh, did you catch that? We have to have faith and we have to have works. And we have to do something with it. Are you following me? So what he here is saying in verse number 19, and this one hits hard. He says, it's cool to believe. The demons believe in God because they know God exists, but they don't serve him. They don't live for him. They don't do his will. They don't follow him. They try to lurk in the dark and in the crevices and come out to try to create havoc in our lives and try to hide from God. Don't you remember every time the demons saw Jesus, they wanted to get away? Why? Because they can't defeat him. But they knew who he was. You see, it's not just enough for you to come up in church and say, I believe. But when it's time for you to serve, you look at somebody sideways and say, I ain't doing that. And you say you believe, but the Lord is the head of your life and he's blessed you with everything. It's time to be a part and it's time to give. I ain't giving nothing. I don't like that preacher up there. Do you realize that your believing ain't enough? There's got to be some evidence through your faith and your works. There's got to be some evidence that it's not just what you talk about, it's what you are doing. What James here is saying to all the churches there and then and to us today, we have to be all in. Because the Lord has blessed us. He has made a way for us. He wants us to have faith in him and then go and trust and do what he's calling us to do. And God is going to bless us. You see, my brothers and my sisters, a lot of folk can come in here and shout real good. A lot of folk can come in here and sing real good. But what are you doing in order to serve the Lord? What are you doing to glorify his name? What are you doing to let somebody else know that I serve an on-time God? I serve a way-making God. I serve a healer. I serve a deliverer. I serve a way maker. You see, my brothers and my sisters, it's not enough to just say, I believe. What are you doing? But what God has blessed you with. God is not calling us to sit down and shut up. You see, God is calling us to be all in. There was this brother whose name was Red Table. Red Table was now 20 years old. Brother Smith, what happened to Red Table is that every night Red Table would go to sleep. He would fall out the bed. And he would wake up every morning and say, I'm tired of falling out the bed. I'm 20 years old, Sister Jackson. And every night I'm still falling out the bed. He said, I'm tired of this. He went to his mother, Sister Edwards, and said, Mama, why am I falling out the bed every night? She said, well, baby, you're not getting all the way in the bed. You're laying on the edge. And while you're asleep, you don't keep still. You move a lot. And sometimes you move the wrong direction. And since you're not all in, every night you're already on the edge. So when you turn the wrong direction, we laugh at that story. But how many of us are falling daily because of the fact that we're not? God wants us to be all in. You can't be halfway in. I understand that there's some folk in this church you might not like. But if you say you love the Lord, Brother David, you got to love them. You see, so if we're here and we say we love the Lord, we got to find a way to get along. You see, because Jesus is the common denominator in the church. He's the reason why each and every one of us are here, because all of us have been healed, delivered, and set free. We've all come on different roads, but don't you know, Sister Rose, all them roads all led to the same place, which lets us know that there's something in this place that allows us to have a commonality together, and his name is. And what Jesus wants to know from each and every one of us is, are you? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I don't know about you. I don't want to fall out the bed. Do I got anybody else who don't want to fall out the bed? And the only way you ain't going to fall out the bed is you got to be
all in.
Ain't that right, Deacon Jones? Now, I got to tell y'all this quick story. Y'all heard what I just shared with y'all, right? We went out to eat. Deacon Jones and I went out to eat. And as we went out to eat, this is a gentleman who ain't know nothing about what we're doing here at our church. And he said, and was because he was a minister and was sharing with us about how he was sharing with a men's ministry, the story I just shared with you. And he said, and the reason why the brother kept falling out the bed is because he was not. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Deacon Jones, am I telling a lie? He said, because he wasn't.
All in.
I ain't talked to him ahead of time. He ain't talked to me ahead of time. But God was talking to both of us. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? You see how our God works, my brothers and sisters? If we're going to be all in, let us be. Because anybody in here know how God wants to bless them? Has anybody in here been blessed by God? Has anybody been here been brought a long way by God? And the reason why is because you have been. God says if you're already all in, don't you dare slide to the edge of the bed. Because if you slide to the edge of the bed, there's a chance you might just.
Oh.
So this is what God is sharing with us as our theme for 2020. You got to be all in. And if we're going to be all in, we don't let folk leave us empty. We make sure they leave us full, because God is the one who fills us and will continue to fill our cups to overflowing. But he can't fill a cup that ain't poured out. And the only way you're going to find out for God to take your small cup and give you a bigger one is that you better use that cup up. And then God said, I want to put more in it, but that cup ain't big enough. So since it ain't big enough, he take the small one and give you a bigger one. I'm all in. And this is what God is sharing with us today. My brothers and sisters, God wants us to be. God bless you. All in.